God has set the minister there because the church needs the ministry. Now, you say, why does the church need the minister, Brother Pye? Because the Bible teaches that God is coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. A perfect church. And the Bible tells us that the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints. Now then, if they are set there for the perfecting of the saints, it is evident that the saints are not perfect without the ministry. Isn't that right? All right, so then if I am a minister, then that it would stand to reason that I have something for you. And it would be to every one of you that can believe that I am a minister. But if you don't believe there's anything in my life, then of course I have nothing for you. But it is for them that believe if I'm a minister. And folks, of a surety, if you do not believe I'm a minister, you need to change and get somebody else or tell me something. You really do. And if you do believe I'm a minister, you certainly need to pay attention, because it's not me speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father. So see, any way you go, you've got to try to understand. So then it's wonderful to be a minister of the gospel. I've heard people make the statement, they say, well, God just has to drive me into something, you know, and I don't want to preach. He made me preach. Well, maybe he did. I don't know. I don't understand the Bible that way, because God has never had to make me preach. I wanted to preach the Word of God. I love to preach the Word of God. I desire to tell people the glad tidings of great joy. Now, I can say this, that he had to strike me down and turn me around and put me in the ministry like he did Paul. While as yet I was out in the world, in my mind I was alienated from the things of God, and my mind was on the things of the world, and I didn't know any better, and God had to strike me down and turn me around. I confess he had to do that, because I wasn't going in his direction, and I wasn't giving him any thought. But when he turned me around, and I saw Jesus and the lovely things of Jesus, I've never wanted to do anything but to love Jesus and tell the glad tidings of great joy. So I don't know about the other ministry. You know, they know what the Lord has called them to do. And, I understand what he's told me to do. I want to exhort you just a minute or two before we start talking to you. And I'll do my best not to keep you long if you'll just listen. And let me talk to you just like I'm doing now, just like Jesus used to. I'll try not to keep you long. But I want to exhort you to try to help me. Brethren, I say this to your shame. I really do. I'm still not having a response out of anybody much coming and helping us on Saturday. And you solemnly promised that if you worked on Saturday, all that you made on Saturday would go to the work of God. That, of course, you've broken over and over again. And that is bad. But you're not even sharing what you make on Saturday, let alone giving what you make. And the brethren over here are investing their time and labor and building up your wealth. Naturally speaking and spiritually speaking, they're building it up that you might be partakers here in an equality, and yet you're not sharing at all. Not at all are you sharing. So then, I feel that that is a shame. I feel that that is a shame. Now, if you are sharing, well, that's different. If you're sharing of your time or your substance, then that is different. But otherwise, brethren, I can't understand it. I really can't understand it. I know that displeases some of you, but I can't help it. I'm trying. You know, I come up here on Sunday morning or any other night, and I try to be as tender in my spirit as I can, as loving and kind. And I just move across this way. And some of you just cut me to my heart. You just whacked me just like you took a dagger and drove it in my heart. And I just swallow down, and I try not to come back at all. I just swallow down unless God just stirs me and quickens me to preach, to try to break that yoke off of you. But I'm telling you in this, in love, I'm telling you from my heart, you're not going to make it in. See, the Bible said, God will pluck out of his kingdom all things that offend. And your spirit is offensive to me. When I pass over it, your spirit offends my spirit. It strikes and it cuts like a knife because of your thoughts. I record your thoughts. And when I do, you're not bringing every thought into subjection. I record your thoughts. And when I record it, it is the carnal mind that's contrary to the mind of the Lord Jesus. It's at war. It just cuts me all to pieces like that. And it grieves me. The Bible said that's not profitable to you to grieve the minister. You say, well, what can I do, Brother Pike? The Bible said enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Have a mind, thoughts of praise, thoughts of thanksgiving, thoughts of worship, thoughts of love, thoughts of charity, thoughts of submission, submitting your spirit one to another in the love of God. That's required of my wife to do that when she comes in here. I'm her husband. But when I'm up here as the man of God. God does not regard her as a wife when she's in here like that. She has to submit her heart because it's not me speaking, but it's God. And she can't look on me as a husband. She has to look beyond the veil and see Jesus. Now, it's required of my daughters. It's required of my relatives. It's required of my friends. It's even required of me to look beyond the veil, to recognize the voice that is utilizing itself through these vocal organs. Now, what I say unto one, I say unto all. That means the man that's doing the talking too. All right. So then, we need to consider these things, brethren. We really need to consider them. I want to talk to you, and I keep feeling a little something different here, and I'm just tiring to kind of check it out. I hadn't felt anything until a little bit ago when I said I'm going to minister to you. Then after that, immediately I felt something, and I was waiting to check it out. I made a statement last night up at Iva, and my daughter and wife received what I had said and mentioned it. And in a little while, Sister Betty can tell you that it proved out to be just exactly the way I had said it. Is that right, Sister Betty? Now, some of you didn't get a chance to prove it. The Bible said prove all things. And you could call it into question. But in a little while, even Brother Dale he was along. He can also vouch for the fact that it proved out to be exactly the way that we say it. Is that right, Dale? All right, now, when we see something in the Spirit of God, it's real. Don't ever lie against the truth. Don't ever lie against the truth. Work with the ministry. Work with God. And if the minister calls on you to confirm something, if you actually don't know, don't worry about it. But if you know, don't lie against the truth, because God will tear you up for that. See, like a woman one time, I told a woman, I was praying over her, and I said, I see you in a ring of fire. As I laid my hands on her, and I saw the woman in a ring of fire. And the woman said, no. And some of the people that was standing around got all shook up. I said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And I said, okay, let her say whatever she wants to. I said, okay. I said, but it'll work out just exactly like I said. And it wasn't long before things hit her, and she just about went all to pieces. Everything began to go wrong, and God left her right in a ring of fire. Now, see, so if the minister says something to you, you might not even understand what he's saying. You might not understand. But that's what he is, you know. A shepherd to look beyond the sheep and beyond the fold and to see something that you don't see. He's an overseer. That is an oversight. And in his oversight, he sees further out than you see. How many of you believe that Jesus saw further than Peter saw when he said, get thee behind me, Satan? How many of you believe that? See, when Jesus looked and said, get thee behind me, Satan, he wasn't talking to Peter. If he'd have been talking to Peter, he'd have never given him the keys to the kingdom. But he actually saw Satan. He was looking beyond. He was an oversight. He was an overseer. He was a prophet, like unto Moses. And so then he saw those things. And a lot of times a man will say, I'm a minister. And a man, he'll take up his ministry and he'll take up leadership. And he'll say, I'm a minister. And he'll say, I'm a prophet. Or I'm an evangelist. I'm this, I'm that. And he'll go and he can stir people up. He can jump and speak and shout and say things and make people get inspired. But the truth of the matter is he cannot see beyond what the congregation is. He can't see any farther. He doesn't have the oversight. He doesn't have the extensiveness of seeing in God. He doesn't see where anything's going. He doesn't know anything about anything. All he knows is he's got a lot to say to the people, that's all. And the people enjoy it because he has a way of presenting it. But folks, that don't prove nothing. That don't prove nothing. An overseer, a shepherd is one that can see beyond the sheep, that's able to search things out and go out while the sheep's grazing and know what's going on. That's a real shepherd. That's a real preacher. That's a real calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't do that, then just stay with your ministry to exhort. You're an exhorter. Just stay with it. Maybe God will raise you on up and make a minister out of it. But when you talk about, a lot of people talk about the prophets, you know, say that's a great thing. But let me tell you something, folks. When you talk about the fivefold ministry, that's a great thing. Somebody said a prophet, that's really a great thing. But when you talk about the fivefold ministry, that's beyond a prophet. Come on now. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. It said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Isn't that right? And there's no prophets greater than John. Never been one born greater than John. And the fivefold ministry is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that? That's the members of Jesus himself. Sure, they're greater than prophets was. That's the ministry of Christ. The prophets, they could look and see things and get inspired. Isn't that right? And the Spirit of God would move, thus signifying things that was to happen at a certain time. Is that right? But not so with the evangelists. Not so with those that are in the fivefold ministry. They have God on the inside of them. And the Holy Ghost himself shows them things to come. He speaks to them from within. He guides them. He teaches them. He tells them everything. That's far greater than the calling of a prophet. I'm speaking of Old Testament prophets now. You say, well, what about a New Testament prophet? Well, somebody said one time, you talk about a horse of a different color. All right. So, I love the Lord. I thank God. And I'm just waiting just a few minutes to make sure that I don't make a mistake. I'm never ambitious to preach. If God wants somebody to preach, I'm never ambitious to preach. If you want somebody to say something, I'm always willing and ready, more than ready, to just stop right in the middle of the stream and just do whatever he wants me to do. Sometimes Satan will aggravate me, and I have to stop and listen to see what voice it is. The Bible said, try the Spirit, see if they be of God. And I have to see if Satan's aggravating me. People... like I had a brother come down here one night. He sat back there and he was so ambitious to preach that I couldn't do nothing. He just kept running to me in his spirit and he wasn't submitting his spirit to me. And finally I just told somebody, I said, we got a visitor here and we're going to let him preach tonight. And when I did, he got up here and all the fire went out of him just like you throwed water on him. And he moved and jerked and done all kinds of things, and finally he just stopped, sat down. He said, I won't never do that no more. All right, so Satan will aggravate me sometimes, and then sometimes God will speak to me. There's a brother, the Bible said, if something be revealed to one, let the other hold his peace. And sometimes God will have revealed something to a brother that he wants brought forward as a member of the body. And I try to hold my peace. I try to wait on the brother. All right, I'm going to read just a little bit anyway and see which way we're going. Might talk to you for an hour, might talk to you for 10 minutes. Now, I know some of you I ain't going to be able to talk to for an hour, because you'll get up and go out. Whenever you get tired, you're going to leave anyway. But I'm talking about them that will stay with me now. Jesus said, watch with me 1 hour. And the ones that will stay with me, I might talk to you for a little bit, you know, and I might not. I'm starting in early, so it won't take a lot of time. I know you're tired, and I know you're going to weary fast, you know. And a lot of people say, well, I don't care, you know, preachers. I don't care, but I do. I care. I don't want to weary you. I don't want to tire you out. I scold you sometimes because I don't want you to miss what I know that you're going to have to make the translation. But I consider you. I love you. I don't want to weary you. I don't want to keep you. I don't. I want to just tell you about Jesus and let that be it. I think sometimes our ministers that get up here, they take too long. They take advantage of the people, and they say, well, the anointing is still there, Brother Pike. Well, I tell you, any time the anointing leaves you, you're through. So after I preach to you in an hour, the anointing's still with me. If I preached with you. I preached to you 3 hours. The anointing is still with me. I might go home and spend 2 or 3 hours under the anointing after I leave the church. See, you're always the anointed of God. You can't go by that. But you've got to try to get a sufficient amount of understanding over to the people to where they can comprehend it, where it would benefit them just enough where they can digest it and then, you know, catalog it and to wait until the next time. Somebody said, well, Paul preached all night. Not every night he didn't. That was a rare occasion. All right, in 2 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles, I want to read to you just a little bit here. 2 Corinthians. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now I want to comment right there so that we don't pass it up. Now listen, folks. So many times you'll hear people say this, and especially women preachers. They'll say, we're not ministers of the Word, but of the Spirit, called the letter killeth. You'll hear that. I've heard things similar to that numbers of times. We believe in the Spirit, the letter killeth. Paul said the letter killeth. But now you that are learned in the Bible, you know that Paul pointed out specifically here that we are ministers of the New Testament. Isn't that right? How do you know that I'm reading out of the New Testament? That's the Word of God. Jesus was made the Word. We're never graduated to the place to where we don't need the Word. Never at any time, brethren. Never. Nor is there a book that has been written that can take the place of the Word. There is no such book. All right, now, so then what was Paul speaking of when he said this? He said, not of the letter. That is, not of the Old Testament law. That's what he said. See, we are ministers of the New Testament, not of the Old Testament letter of the law. For by the law comes death. That is death. But we are ministering the words which are spirit and which are life. Isn't that right? Now I say, well, what is the difference here, Brother Pike? I don't get this. Because in the Old Testament, see, now if you listen real close, you get something. In the Old Testament, it is written in stones. Is that right? It is engraved in stones. Therefore, it is a letter of death. But see, he said, I will take out of you the heart of stone, and I will place within you a heart of flesh, and write the message of God, the Word of God, I will write it upon the table of your heart. Is that right? Upon the table of your heart. Now, what does that mean? See, if it is written upon the table of your heart, that means it is spirit. See, you are a spirit. You are a living spirit. And if he writes it in your heart, then it is a spiritual life. That's why Paul said before he brought this out, he said, you are my epistles. I don't have any stones like Moses did. You're my lively stones. And I'm writing it within your spirit. This is a living letter. This is a living testament. See, this is something that is alive on the inside of you, not a letter of law in a stone. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, but he said he'd take out the heart of stone. You say, a man couldn't have a heart of stone. Yeah, there's people that are turning to stone. How many of you know that? Scientists say they're turning to stone. See, see, man's made out of the dust. And dust is what, that grain, those grains of sand is what makes a stone. So it's a heart of stone. You're nothing but the dust. You're nothing but a stone without God. You understand what I'm saying? So he said, I will take out that heart of stone. That is that dead man. I'll do away with that. See, and I'm not going to minister to you a letter like that. But this is a spiritual letter. This is a revelating letter. This is a letter of revelation, Paul said. I'm a minister of the New Testament, and God has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life. That is, Christ is a revelation from my life to you, and Christ is a revelation from your life to somebody else's life. See, you reveal Christ in your life. We're killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we don't open our mouth. We're killed all the day long. We're dying, swearing to our own hurt, swallowing down, letting the world go, let them have everything, but we don't have nothing. We just go right on trusting God, and from within, through our meekness and humbleness and sweetness and charity, we just overcome evil with good, and out comes Jesus. He's revelated daily from our lives. And people say, I know that that's a man of God. I know that that woman's a Christian. I know I've seen her mistreated. I've seen her abused. I've seen people mistreat her. I've seen the tears rolling down her cheeks. But every time she always comes back with some super perseverance that I can't put my hands on. And I know that has to be something in her life that I don't have because I can't do that. And then they see Jesus. They see Jesus. They say, how do you do it, sister? And the woman just sweetly says, it's Jesus. Same way with the man. It's Jesus. Men are crushed. They don't have the finance a lot of times that they need to satisfy their little wives, you know. Maybe to satisfy their children. Maybe they give. Maybe they don't have like others. Maybe they're not blessed in that way to have the faith to believe for that which God would really like them to have. You know, but in spite of all of that, they bear up under it and they come back with Jesus. And Jesus makes up for the lack. Jesus. Somebody said, boy, I just don't see how you do it. You don't have these things like other folks. I just don't see how you do it. And yet you have a better spirit, you have a better outlook, you have a better attitude. Isn't that wonderful? See, Jesus. Jesus is shown to them. So then, that's what Paul was speaking of here. All right, let's read down a little bit. Now, is it all right for me to talk to you like this? All right, let's read down a little further. Now, notice this now, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Now, you understand what he's saying now? All right, now let's comment just a minute. Paul says that the beauty of the ministry of Moses and his people was glorious. God in their midst. God defeating nations. God overthrowing kingdoms. God giving them such a wonderful thing, Brother Cantrell, coming down on the mountain. Never he'd done that in the presence of people before. Never. He came down on the mountain. Nobody had ever seen God do that before. He rolled back the Red Sea. He opened up the earth. He opened up the Jordan. He made the sun to stand still. Nobody had ever seen that before. It was so glorious. It was so outstanding. But Paul said, if you think that's something, said, just look at what's happening in our time. So he said, that didn't even have any glory. When you bring this light out, this light is so bright you can't even see that one. That one just swallowed up in this one. You understand what I'm saying? Now you say, but Brother Pike, while we've never had nothing that glorious in our day, much more glorious. Much more glorious. See, the only thing is, they saw through the eyes of the natural. They was looking through the eyes of the natural, and they saw those natural things on exhibit. Now, on display before their natural eyes. But folks, today we have much more than that. God doesn't come down on a mountain so that we can see Him. Where does God come to? Into our hearts. Isn't that much more glorious? Rather than looking at God on a mountain, God said, I will walk in you. God said, I will walk in you. You don't have to stand here and look at a mountain, Paul said. This is much more glorious. He said, this is a transformating glory that makes you into the God body and in the God image. And said, when you mature in this, he said, you just say what you will and it'll be done. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? You say, but he didn't say when you mature. He said, well, if thou canst believe in that maturity. Sure. When you mature, this is much more glorious, folks. You can't see it right now, see. The Bible teaches that when we overcome this outer man and the change comes and this inner man is seen, the glory of it, the mind, the understanding, the brilliance. Like a young man that gets out of college, he studied maybe 7 to 10 years to be a great physician, and he steps out of college. He comes to his little old neighborhood down there where people are poor. You know, and he's fought his way through, and here he is, a prince, walking up and down. They say, my, ooh, I wish I could be like that. They know the future. They know the fine automobiles, the fine homes. They know the prestige. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is with us. Here we are. See, we are walking among the people. Like they said to Abraham, said, thou art a great prince among us. And see, walking among the people out there, you are the body of the Lord Jesus. Just wait till the veil comes off. And the Bible said you will outshine the noonday sun. You ever seen the noonday sun at its very brightest peak? You ever watched it? Just think, you are brighter than the noonday sun. They say, but Brother Pike, you said I will. I know I said you will. But see, that doesn't mean that you have to wait to do that. No, that's not what I mean. See, you're already brighter than the noonday sun. Isn't that right? What son of God is not brighter than something that God hung up in the heavens? Why, a son of God could make dozens of them and play with them like toys. Just keep making them as long as he wanted to and blow them out when he gets through and make another one. Is that right? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you're talking foolish. No, sir. No, sir. A son of God can make worlds and blow them out like bubbles. Just bubble them out. Somebody said, but wait a minute, where are they all going to go to? Oh, there's a lot of place out there. Scientists say there are millions and millions of worlds out there. Bible said worlds without end bodies. You understand what I'm saying? So then you're much more glorious. You're already a son of God. You're just in a veil. That's what Paul was trying to get over. See, Moses showing God in the veil because he had been illuminated so much in the presence of God, then the Shekinah glory of God showed through the veil enough that through his body enough that he had to put another veil on his face. But see, he was only illuminated. But here we are, we actually have the heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. That's why that I say, Jim, so many times, preachers preaching at you down through the years and Brother Pike and different ones telling you things that you don't understand. You really don't understand. You don't understand. See, how can you understand and feel the way you do and be depressed the way you do and care so little about the things of God the way you do and be so fascinated about the natural things around you? You couldn't understand. Folks, you couldn't. And another man having an old piece of junk to drive around and $10 in the bank, and he's not concerned about the man that's got billions of dollars that is trying to share the billions of dollars with him. Now, do you think that man understands? Of course he doesn't understand. Don't you think he'd trade that old piece of junk and that $10 to be able to get a hold of that? See, the man doesn't understand. That's the way some of you are. Some of you had rather suck on a cigarette. Come on now. Chew a little on the cud. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'd never do a thing like that. But watch a little television on the side. Somebody said, well, I didn't mean to do that. Or listen to some things on the radio that's not sacred. Somebody says, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. But that's not what we're talking about, see. It's not what you see. It's what the Bible says about it. See, it's being led. It's following leadership. I appreciate what Ted King said last night. Ted has been one that would not follow leadership. Isn't that right? How many times is from this pulpit have you heard him lamb blast, just lamb blast, and tear things apart to the best of his ability? Say, don't follow man, down with man, don't follow man. How many times have you ever heard that? And I said, brethren, love Ted, he just don't understand. But as far as he's concerned, he understood. But he said last night, said, Brother Pike, pray for us, that, oh God, help us to be able to come under leadership. That's what he said. And what's leadership? Coming under a man. Coming under a man. Somebody said, coming under God. God will never lead you, my brother, except through the ministry. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike, God speaks to me. Not until the minister speaks to you. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, I didn't have to have no minister. Then you never did make the birth. Since when does wheat come up out of the ground without a seed being planted? You don't have any birth that way. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that right? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, but I just read the Bible. But that came from a minister. The minister back yonder that came from, my brother. You understand? All right. How do you understand what I'm saying? Leadership. All right. So then this is much more glorious. You actually are the body of God. Oh, I like that. I like that. I might not be screaming at you this morning, but I like that. I like that. When I walk around, you know, I think, God, think about that. I'm the real, genuine, living body of the Almighty God. Me. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for that day. But I'm not waiting for that day. I already am. Already am. See, I already have passed from death unto life. Just think, I'm through with death. It's finished. It's over. I don't have to worry about it. That's why a lot of times I say you don't understand. You say, well, I'd just be so happy, but I know one of these days. That proves you're not a believer. What's one of these days got to do with it? I'm not a one of these days creature anymore. Days is no more. Paul said you regard days and seasons. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of it. I didn't preach that kind of revelation to you, that you should be under the bondage of days and seasons. Somebody, you know, say, oh, just wait till they put your old body in that. No, I don't feel that way about it at all. Anybody ever tells you that Brother Pike's dead? Say, nah, ain't a word of it true. Because it won't be. Not a word of it. Not a word of it. Not a word of it. He that is raised up from the dead, he is raised up to die no more. He that dwells in heaven is equal to the angels, and the angels cannot die. How many of you know that? Said they are equal to the angels, and the Bible said the angels cannot die. They are spirits, they cannot die. Is that right? How many of you are in heaven today? All right. Somebody said, I just like the way Brother Pike, he brings this thing about, you know, it just thrills me, you know, the way he thrills us with them fairy tales and all. No. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you know that we don't feel that way. You'd be surprised to know that people are no more advanced in God than to have a frame of mind. It's like somebody telling a fairy tale. No, brother, I'm talking about the real, genuine resurrection from the dead. A lot of times the hot, scalding water hits my feet, you know. Stick my feet in the tub. You know what I think? When that scalding water hits my feet, something goes all over me, I say, no, it can't be. No. People can't go to a place like that. And I hear something say, yes, it's real. That fire you felt burn you, it's real. And I get all tore up. Try it sometimes. Just try it sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, this is real. Just as much as that fire is real, this is real right here too. This is real. This is a God-given real thing. We've passed from death unto life. We've been translated into the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. We've been chosen out of this world. We are in heaven. We are resurrected to die no more. Somebody said, well, why do they still put men in coffins? Answer that, preacher. Okay, I'll ask you a question. The Bible said by his stripes we were healed. You think he told a lie about it? Why do people still go to the hospital? Why are they still sick? If you'll tell me that, then I'll tell you and give you the answer to what you asked me. Now, if you can't tell me that, then you need to be quiet and quit questioning things that you don't understand and just listen. All right, so then it is a true fact that God has raised us up from the dead to die no more. We are alive. We are a different people. I want to get it over to you. Somebody said, but my preacher don't teach me that. My preacher don't believe that, Brother Pike. It don't make any difference if your preacher don't preach that. If your preacher don't teach that, that has nothing to do with it. Your preacher is just plain ignorant. He's just plain ignorant. I don't mean that wrong in saying that I'm some smart fellow and he's an ignoramus. Paul said you're ignorant, and I would not have you ignorant. He is plain ignorant. He just hasn't come to that place yet. Maybe God will bring him to that place. But you getting in there with him isn't going to help him. If a man's drowning out yonder, folks, and I don't mean to get to preaching at you now, but if a man's drowning out yonder, and that man needs help, and you say, like Thomas, you know, Thomas called Didymus, said, Lazarus is dead, okay, let's all go die with him. I mean, you say, well, he's drowning, let's all just jump in with him. I don't see that, do you? That don't help the situation. If your preacher don't know, don't take sides with him. Go back and tell the man. If you can get something, maybe you are called to lead him. Just because he says he's a preacher, that don't mean he's your leader. Maybe you was ordained to know more than he knows. You say, but he's my teacher, Brother Pike. But David said, I know more than all my teachers, didn't he? Didn't he say that? I know more than all my teachers. All right, so maybe God was going to give you something that he didn't give that teacher. You ever thought of it like that? Maybe that man wasn't as honest and hard as you are. Maybe you just thought he was, and maybe he wasn't as honest and hard as you are. And because of your honesty of heart, maybe God has given you something that he'll never give that fellow unless you take it to him. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, you're a good congregation. I don't mean to scold you. I'm just trying to explain things. Brother Branham said, nail it on where the wind don't get it. You know, if you don't really put that thing on there right, somebody will come along, you know, in a real, you know, flashy sort of a way, and they'll breeze through, some evangelist will breeze through that's trying to get some money, and that contrary wind of doctrine will knock all the boards off, and you have to go back and do the job all over. But I want my people to be such that when we have breezy evangelists coming through here, they'll just open this door and let it go on in, and open that and let it go on out. That's right. That's right. Just let it breeze right on through. Isn't that right? When an ill wind blows our way, just let it blow on by. Because there's coming a good one somewhere, like a mighty rushing wind. All right, so then, folks, as I try to explain, just teaching and talking to you just a little bit this morning, if the ministration of death, you understand what I'm saying? Paul said that was a ministration of death. That was death in action. That's why he understood. He was a revelator. That's why he understood that death took occasion by the letter. So he just talks about it like this. He just says that was the tree of death. That was the tree of death. That was the tree of death. That was the knowledge of God, the knowledge to make you know about God just enough to let you understand that you didn't have eternal life and that you didn't have life and that you was a helpless little creature that was dying. That was just to bring you the knowledge that you had been separated from God and you was dying. That without God, you're nothing. And that's what the letter of the law reveals. It reveals to you that you don't have life. So then it is a letter of death. Isn't that right? He said, if that is death, if that is death, he said, my. He said, what about this word of life? What about this word that comes to reveal to you not that you're separated from God, but rather joined to God? And this letter comes to say to you, I have healed you. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. You understand what I'm saying now? I have given you all things that pertain unto life. I have healed you. Behold, all things are yours. All that the Father has given me, I have given unto you. You understand what I'm saying? And over, the wonderful promises of the Word, of Spirit, and of life. That is beautiful. How much more glorious, Paul said. Why not have this mind? Don't have the mind of carnality that doubts and says, well, I don't know whether I'm going to have any work to do next week or not. I don't know whether my car's going to hold up or not. I don't know whether my neighbor's going to treat me right or not. I don't know what my wife's going to do. I don't know what my husband's going to do. I don't know. I must have cancer. I don't know what I've got. Don't have that. Say like Paul, see? Praise God. Through the New Testament letter, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can get my work. I can straighten my wife out. My husband will straighten out because I'll pray and God will straighten him out. You understand? See? God will bless you. Take the positive outlook in life. The positive outlook in life. That's right. Now somebody said, think positive. No, I'm not talking about thinking positive. I'm talking about thinking Jesus. All of that stuff about thinking positive and don't think negative, that ain't nothing. There ain't nothing to that. Somebody said, well, I'm one of them positive thinkers. You couldn't be a positive thinker if you wasn't born again. You're a negative from your birth and you'll stay negative. And you can think all the positives you want to. You're just thinking positive negative. That's all. Thinking more negative in a positive way. Because you are negative. Only children of God can think positive. So then a real, genuine, positive thinker. See, when the mind of God gets a hold of you, you become a positive thinker. That's right. You don't think negative. You don't say, well, I'd like to go over yonder, but I don't know. I'd like to go to Sweden, but I don't know. You don't think like that. You go to pray and say, now I wonder, you know. You know, you don't say, I wonder what I'm going to do. You just go and pray and you talk to the Lord Jesus. And you find out about the wonder, you know. You find out what He wants you to do. You don't say, I wonder, but you just go to Him and you pray. And you say, the Lord, am I to go to Sweden or not to Sweden? That is when something confronts you through life, whether it's a trip to Sweden or pay a bill or whatever, buy a car. You say, Lord, what is your pleasure in this thing? Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I wouldn't know. You know, I can't do that. Sure you can do that. You believe, I brought a little message the other night, you believe that you know the mind of God, don't you? How do you know the voice of God? Wait a minute now, we got to back up and start over here. Now, how many of you are Christians? Well, now that might answer it right there. See, when the rest of them hands didn't go up, well, I thought, well, maybe I misunderstood. But now, if you're not a Christian, I understand you don't know the voice of God. Yeah, I understand that. But now, you that are Christians, you know the voice of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Now, how many of you are Christians? All right, now that's a little better there. Now, we don't want to get double-minded. Now, we either are a Christian or we ain't a Christian, right? All right, now, if we are a Christian, is this right? Is this right, Brother Cantrell, you preachers? Does the Bible say that we know the voice of God? That my sheep know my voice? Is that Bible? All right, now, a lot of times I say that to get a confirmation from the brethren in case you don't know the Scriptures. You know that they know them. Now, see, it said, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. Do you know the voice of God? All right, that's what I say. Just go pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, we're right back where we started. You go pray and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? So He tells you, so you get up and do it. Isn't that right? You get up and do it. God says, I want you to do such and such. So you get up and say, hey, Brother Taylor, I'm going to Sweden. Is that right? Somebody say amen. I believe you believe what I'm saying. All right, that's all there is to it. Now, you say, but maybe I... There's no maybe about it. See, that's the mind you don't mess with. That's a negative mind. You say, but maybe God don't want me to go. You're bringing maybe into it again, see? Now, if you know the voice of God, you know whether or not He wants you to go or don't want you to go. Isn't that right? There ain't no maybe about it. You know whether He wants you to go or don't want you to go. You say, but Brother Pike, I really don't. No, that ain't true. Now, I couldn't be like that. I'll go along this much. If you are a little baby in Christ and you've never grown up, you might not understand. I'll go along that far. Now, I got people here that's been here a long time, and they're not just little babies. They're grown up. I've got some brethren here that's not little babies. That's right. They're grown up. You say, how much? Well, I don't know exactly, but they're grown up. They're not just little bitty babies. Now, how be interested in us talking a little more here? All right, now if you want me to explain a little bit, you're going to have to get a hold of the reins of that old man that'll go to sleep, you know. Like the disciples did, he shake him up. You know, I have people, they'll sit in my services, not many, but rarely they'll sit in my service and they'll go to sleep. Very rare that I have anybody to do it. He said, well, they just couldn't help it. Sure, they could help it. They just didn't do anything about it. I've been in the service when I'd almost go to sleep, I couldn't hardly hold my eyes open. Maybe somebody was preaching. You know, I'd be tired. But what it is, they don't have any resistance. They don't put up any resistance. You understand? So shake yourself and listen to what I'm saying. It might be the very thing that I'm saying that is going to keep you out of the fire or help you to make the translation. Folks, get away from that idea that God's going to sweep down like they've been telling you in the church. Get away from it. I'm telling you. You say, Brother Pike, but I'm not going to get away from that. I believe in what you're saying, but I'm not ignorant enough to think that what you're telling me about that's right. But I tell you in the name of Jesus what I'm telling you about is right. You go ahead with that intellectual reasoning of yours. God is going to sweep down like that. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith, not God sweeping down. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Paul brought it out in the New Testament, he said Enoch was translated by faith. And he spoke of all the great things in Hebrews 11 concerning faith. So that means that we're going to be translated by faith, folks. By faith. Now, you say, well, I'm waiting. Well, if you're waiting, you're just waiting. You're not waiting on God. How do you know that you're not waiting on God? You're not waiting on God. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Pike, back there it says, they that wait upon the Lord. I know they said that in the Old Testament back there. They were waiting on the Lord Jesus to come. Say, but they tarried at Pentecost. I know they did. Jesus said, tarry, and then I'll send you the Holy Ghost. But he's here now. You don't have to tarry to get the Holy Ghost now. It's about laying their hands on to receive the Holy Ghost. So you're not waiting on God. Then what must we do? Be about your Father's business. Isn't that right? How do you follow me in what I'm saying? See, you get things out of the setting. You get everything all misconstrued. And you'll be preaching this to the people and preaching that to the people. And you might get the cart before the horse. All right, so then you have to shake yourself a little bit. Could you imagine people sitting there listening to Jesus and he was talking to them like I'm talking to you this morning and off they'd go to sleep. Somebody said, well, I'd never do that. Not if Jesus was talking. Well, you have done it. Right. You've been talking here a number of times. The Bible says not me speaking but him. And you went hard and fast asleep. Somebody said, well, you know you'd never do that in the presence of God. Jesus went back and found the disciples asleep. Isn't that right? Said, couldn't you watch with me? He's had the same complaint I've got. Can't you watch with me? See, he's the same yesterday, then, and forever. You're the same yesterday, then, and forever. You're the weakness of the flesh. All right, so then, brethren, listen. Jesus said the flesh is weak. Let's get a hold of it. I'm just going to say a few more things here and comment, and then I'm going to close. It really ain't that late because I didn't hold you that. You know, I didn't take up that much time. I'm amazed. I marvel at the little interest that some of you've got in your soul's welfare. When little children go down there, even Eddie goes down there and stays half a day with those children down there. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, he gets paid for it. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I marvel at the little interest that some of you have in really learning. You say, well, we get together, Brother Pike, and we spend hours, you know, in the Scriptures, and you just don't understand it. See, that we spend on... No, you don't. The reason you do that is because you like to do a lot of talking. You get around, if you can get two or three around, you spend hours all right, just talking. And a lot of them try to slip away, and a lot of times can't. They don't hurt your feelings. All right, now, look at this. Let's read a little more. So then this is more glorious. This is so glorious. If that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. Now I want you to notice that. Now how have you listened to what I'm saying? Let me see your hand if you're listening to what I'm saying. Let me see your hand if you're interested in what I'm saying. All right, now listen. It says here, we got great plainness of speech. That is, it's not hard for you to understand what we're saying. It's not all veiled up. And then he says here, I know it's veiled up to the intellectual mind. It's hid from them. It might be hard for you to understand, but I'm talking about the children of God now. The veil's gone at Calvary. See, we don't have a veil over the face. That veil that was over Moses' face was taken away at Calvary. Now, the children of Israel couldn't see steadfast to the end of it. They couldn't tell the revelation. They just saw the natural things happen, but didn't know the revelation behind it. But their minds was blinded. Now, you understand that? Israel's mind was blinded. See, they were blinded. Now, God did that to have mercy on them. Isn't that right? God blinded them that he might have mercy on them. That's why he blinded them. Because he can only charge a thing against a person if a person understands. You can't be guilty of the transgression of the law and a just judge penalize you unless you know the law. No man in his right mind would charge you for something that you didn't know, unless it was a willful ignorance where he'd put it before you and that you just went out of your way to keep from learning it so you wouldn't have to obey it. Paul calls that willful ignorance. That's transgression right there. But see, he said they couldn't look to the end of it. Their minds were blinded. Blinded. You know, people really want this gospel. Even Brother Lynn, how do you remember Brother Lynn? Brother Lynn that left from here, he didn't leave the desire for this. He sent word the other day that he wanted one of those spiritual conquests. He's asking for one. See, they ain't left it. They hadn't left it. See, people want this. They know it's the truth. All right? Said it, the same veil, untaken away, it remaineth. Now notice, but their minds were blinded. The things that was blinded was their minds. With the eyes of their understanding, they can't see. Their understanding, they can't see. The wicked shall not see. Through eyes of understanding, they shall not see when good cometh. They shall not see. They shall not see. Their minds will be on eating. Their minds will be on drinking. Their mind will be on their business. Their mind will be on their wives, on their passions. Their mind will be on visiting. Their mind will be on their relatives. Their mind will be on gossip, on backbiting, on reasoning, bickering, all these things, see? Their mind is blinded. That's a blind person. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Why did God put blind people in the world? Because in the world, see, everything natural in the world has to do with something spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? But the veil is taken away. Just like I take these off, the veil is taken away. Now, their minds are blinded. Their minds are blinded. Their minds are blinded. See, blind people in this world are only a type and a shadow of the spiritual blind. They are spiritually blind. Now, you don't go around kicking blind folks around, do you? You try to help them. You try to lead them. They're blind. They can't help it. Those people are blind. Some of them was born blind. That is, in the natural, you're blind. You don't kick them around. You know, men with education out there, they try to tell you where to go and what to do. They can't tell you where to go. The banker don't know where to go. He can't see. He's blind. He don't know where he's going. How do you believe I'm telling you the truth? See, he doesn't know where he's going. How is he going to direct you? He can't. He's blind. But see, we are not blind. We have eyes that we see and we have ears that we hear. See, Jesus said, having ears, you don't hear because you're deaf. Those people can't hear. They're deaf. In their hearing, they're deaf. They can't help it. Some of them was born deaf. They can't help it. They're deaf. You can talk about God and eternal life all day long, and they'll say, that's nice, Mr. Pike. We're proud of you. My mother goes to the Baptist church, too, and I've belonged to the Methodist ever since I was such and such. I think it's wonderful. Just sign right here on the dotted line. He didn't hear a word I said. He was deaf. He couldn't hear nothing I said. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, if them folks out there are deaf, how are they ever going to be saved? They're not going to be saved unless God works a miracle and opens their deaf ears. They're not. Isn't that right? Having ears, they don't hear. Isn't that right? It's the same way with the eyes. They're blinded. Paul said these people are blinded. And said that veil is still over their minds until this day. That blindness, what is the blind? It's the veil darkly. It's that carnal beast spirit that come out from the tree of knowledge that causes that condemnation. That mind is blind. That is a beast mind. That mind doesn't know spiritual things. It doesn't know heavenly things. It is a beast mind. It's made for a beast body. And they've traced the origin back. They know they're beast. They can't see anything else. But like I said last night when I brought out about the spirit covenant, we've come over that. We're beyond that, folks. Now listen to me. Those people have a covenant from God. That's a grace covenant. That's blood. And long as that age is here, that blood will remain on the mercy seat. Brother Ted and Brother James, some of them came to me last night, a couple of them there, and said, Brother Pike said, we really, really love the way that was brought out on the simplicity of that blood being on the mercy seat concerning the red dragon. Said, we really appreciate it. It really so brought out so clear. When that age is over, that is finished. And brothers and sisters, we're right now at the closing of the door of the Gentiles. I know you don't believe that, but as sure as I live, we're at the closing of the days of the Gentiles. That means that there is another covenant. That covenant is a spiritual covenant. I wish that I could talk with you. I wish you had an interest, but I don't feel enough interest, you know, to try to even fan the spark. I can't have it unless I holler and scream at you. I just got a very few here that they're not coming on very strong or coming in very strong, but they're coming in some. I know some of you's tired. That's the reason I chose to go this route and try to talk with you, because I know your minds are not clear and sharp. Now, but the thing is, folks, that mind is blinded. It's blind, and it don't see, deaf, and don't hear. I talk to some of you, and you're blind. You don't see. I pick up your thoughts. I look at your eyes. I examine your eyes of understanding. I'll be standing here, and I examine the eyes of your understanding. And the way your spirit comes in, I examine it, and I see you're blind. And I pity you. And I say, oh, Lord, the poor fellow's blind. He can't see. See, he's surmising. He's finding fault. He's reasoning. He's resenting. See, blind as a bat. And I feel so sorry for him. I feel so sorry. Same way with the women. Some of them are blind. And then I preach, and I preach. And they'll look right at me. They'll look right at me. And while they're looking at me, the record they'll look around at a child, you know. They'll look right at me, and they'll get up and go to the restrooms, and they'll come back, you know. And they'll sit there and look right at me. I say, oh, Lord, they're deaf. They're deaf. Deaf, Lord, be merciful to them. They're deaf. They can't hear. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't you know that we sit out here and we hear what you say? You hear my sounds. You hear my vocal utterance. But the Bible said you don't hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let him that hath an ear, that he that is not deaf, let him. And I say, oh, Lord, they're deaf. They can't hear. And you know, that tears my heart up, because I'm a spiritual person. I live in that spiritual world. And my heart and compassion goes out to them, because I see the great sorrow and the heartaches. People pity people in wars over yonder, in wrecks on the highway. But see, I see those spiritual wrecks where one's running into another. One will get to speeding and he'll think he's got it. He'll say, I got it. I got it. And he'll jump out here and spin his wheels and catch the attention of some of the children, spiritual children, and off he'll go. And everybody will say, hurrah, hurrah. Look at brother so-and-so. Man, look at him going. He spins his wheel and goes around the curve and he flips the car. And they go out there and they pick him up and he's dead. He could have done something for God, but he'll never do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Not following leadership, not following the laws of God, wrecking up. Somebody, you give him a little something. You know, young person, I'm speaking spiritual. This is the truth before God, just so that you can understand. Paul said, I would speak unto your spirituals. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. Give a gift. Somebody says, I want a gift. Like Brother James up yonder, he said, I had a vision the other night. He said, Brother Branham come around. He said, I saw Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said something about going away. And said, when I go away, said, there's a man coming through that door right yonder. And said, he's going to be from someplace. And said, when he comes, he's going to give out gifts. And he said, looked, and the door opened and said, here come in this man. And the man had it rolled across him, whatever it was, you know, that he's from, the place. And said he started giving out gifts, and he said them, James said them, the biggest gifts that I ever saw in my life. Giving gifts, getting back to our spiritual thought now. Just brought that, dropped that in for good measure. So you give a gift. They say, I want a gift. So you give a gift. You say, here, son, here's a shotgun. So he said, thank you. So he gets a temper. I'll just go over and blow his brains out. He goes over and shoots him. And that's what he done with his gift. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he done with his gift. God gives you a little knowledge. A nice, shiny gun that you can kill the enemy with. Something that you can go out and hunt with and feed off of. And what do? You polish it up and you go showing off. Isn't that right? You go showing off with it, and the first news you know, you shoot your mouth off and blow somebody's brains out. Isn't that right? You ever heard that? Somebody said, he blowed my brain. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike, I've heard that a lot of times. Well, sometimes you blow the devil's brains out. That's what it's for. That old carnal mind needs to be blowed out. But I'm speaking in a different way here. I'm speaking to people just not doing things from God or by inspiration. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Sometimes we think we're big game hunters when we need to be hunting rabbits. All right. So then this is the truth, folks. And then there's other cases, and I'm going to close. I just go on and go on here, but there's other cases. I brought this out before. You find a lot of people, they might have a wreck, you know. Sometimes you be a good driver and some careless fellow come along and run into you. You have to watch. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. You'll have a wreck. Two gossiping tongues can wreck. You get in a wreck, you pull your sword and you're ready to kill the fellow. You're a man of war. You're ready to cut him down right then and there. But what we need to do is beat our swords into plowshares. Take your spears and make pruning hooks out of them and go fishing. Don't study war no more. Denomination lift up sword against denomination. Don't lift up sword against nations anymore. So you have a wreck. You might live through it, but your car might be warped on the frame. It might run sideways. Or it might be all bruised up. You might have to patch it up. You never get the service out of it. You would have before in the long trips in the spirit that you'd like to take. You can't do it anymore. Isn't that right? And people that are careless and unconcerned that won't come to church half the time, speaking spiritually, won't do nothing, won't fast, won't pray, won't help, won't dig, won't do nothing. They run around on make-pop ties, you know, an old rattle trap. Somebody say, how do you know it's a rattle trap? You can hear them rattling when they come. That's right. They've got a complaint all the time. They're rattling all the time. Just run around on an old rattle trap and they can't afford nothing else because it won't work. Isn't that right? But the diligent soul shall be made fat. Can't take a long trip. We get ready to go out in a long trip and they just sit there and look at us, you know. Say, how many's going out in this revelation with us? We're going to make a long trip. Go to the moon. But I don't know what he's saying. No interest to me. So they get up and leave. They can't make the trip because they got a rattle trap. They ain't paid the price. Isn't that right? You love the Lord? Somebody say, you talking silly. No, sir, I'm not talking silly. I'm telling you the absolute gospel of Jesus Christ. These things I say unto you is only foolishness to you fellows that's so smart. But this is revelation unto these babes that want to learn. All right, so then this is the way God has set it in motion. And we've tried to expound to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've tried to expound to you the way that God does. And God being a spirit, He'll give you a dream. And I brought it out about the three dreams of the three minds. Can I say this right quick in closing? All right. You know, I'm the kind of preacher, I don't like to say nothing if you ain't going to listen. A lot of preachers, they don't care whether you listen or not. If they're having a good time and can get your money. But if you ain't listening, I don't talk with you. There's just three minds. Remember, that mind dreams filthy dreams. That's the mind of Satan. That's one kind of a dream. Isn't that right? Then there is a mind from the multitude of business. The Bible said, dream is dream from multitude of business. That is the human mind. And then there is a mind where Daniel dreamed and said, the vision of my head troubled me. It's a clean, upright, edifying dream. That is a vision from God.
You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of Joseph God. Now, in the last days, men will see visions, dream dreams. How? Through the eyes of their understanding. When's going to come them days when the men are going to see all them visions? They're seeing them. Revelation is vision coming in. It's the vision that's coming in through eyes of understanding. You're natural, so you're looking for something natural. God is a spirit. Through eyes of understanding, them eyes are seeing visions in the last days. Isn't that right? That's what he had to do with the last night, going to that school, the children going into Canaan, the elders dying in the wilderness. You notice last night, the foolish virgins stand around till midnight. Some of them went to sleep. Did you notice that? Till midnight cry. All right. So then the things I'm saying to you are spirit. My words are spirit. Jesus said, take my words and listen at them. I'm saying spiritual things to you. My words are spirit. If you can interpret, they're life. It's not me speaking, but it's God. They're words of spirit and they're words of life. You belong to one world or another. You see in one world or another. You talk in one world or another. And you're blinded either to one world or another. All right, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. I want you to stand with me. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you. I really do. But I just say a little bit as long as I can that you might understand. Who is blinder? Who is blinder than the people of God? They shouldn't be blind. Nobody in God should be blind. God blinded Israel because he didn't want to charge evil against them. He wanted to wait till he dealt with the Gentiles, and then he'll bring their light to them, and then he'll charge them with evil, but he wanted to preserve them. Paul said, how great and wonderful is the wisdom of God, having blinded Israel in part till the fullness of the Gentiles come in so that he might have mercy upon them. Whom much is given to him that knoweth to do good. All right, so it is a sin, it is required. I know you're tired, but how many of you are glad that you're here this morning, little Bethlehem? I just talked with you a little like Jesus would do. If he was talking with you, that's the way he would talk with you. I was talking with you a little bit. I want you to be a real Christian. I want you to be a real brother. I want you to be a real person in God. I want you to be one that can see beyond the veil. Don't let the veil be over your mind. See to where you can't see spiritual things and understand spiritual things. Don't do that. The veil has been rent in twain. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. All right. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing a little chorus together. How wonderful it is to be a Christian, to be a child of the living God. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, now don't take this wrong. Don't find fault with me. But you don't have to keep driving that old 70 model all the time. It might be good, it might have done a good job. But the man that's kept a good name in Christ, he can trade in, get him a 77. That's right. That's all right. Done good, but you got a lot of miles on it. God's got something new. How many of you know that? You get something new from heaven every day. He's got something brand new. That's why that we've got this car that we've got out here. It represents you people that have really went along with me. God's showing you that you're that brand new 77 model. That's right. That's what it represents. So help me God, that's the truth. You're that brand new 77 model. Somebody said, I don't want nothing new. It's all right to keep you old. Sometimes you can even make an antique out of it and people will come around to look at it. But a good man brings out of his treasure both old and new. Isn't that right? Say, well, if I get a new one, how am I going to have old? It took the old to help constitute the new. Isn't that right? The chassis, the motor, all of that, it's a derivative from the old. It's just in its polished, glorified form. That's all. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. You'll find rest, peace to your soul. Can we sing it again? Sweep over my soul.